You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Michael J. Murphy. Michael is a journalist and political activist from the Los Angeles area whose work focuses on issues that go beyond the interests of the corporate mainstream media. He recently finished co-producing the documentary, What in the World Are They Spraying?, which focuses on the mysteries surrounding aerosol geoengineering, otherwise known as chemtrails. This is a groundbreaking work which has the full support of the Democratic watchdog, G. Edward Griffin. He also appears in the movie. Until now, none have dared approach this subject head-on with such care and objectivity. You can see clips of the film or purchase it and read Michael's blog at www.truthmediaproductions.blogspot.com. So let's welcome Michael to the show now. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Oh, doing great, Lance. How are you doing?
Good. It's a real fireside chat tonight because where I'm at in Northern California, it dipped to 40, and I've got a fire going in the fireplace. So we're really having a fireplace chat, fireside chat. It's legitimate tonight. So one of the things I wanted to do before we get into your work is to thank you for making this film, because this is something that many people have been disturbed by for decades, really. It's been going on for decades, and nobody's had the courage or the wherewithal to make a film on this, and it's about time, and I really want to give you high marks for having done the film.
Mm-hmm. Well,
now,
thanks for...
Just out of curiosity, how did you get interested in making it?
Well, it's kind of a long story. It'll take a while to explain, but I had moved to Los Angeles a little over a year ago, and I had become aware a few years back about the chemtrail issue and got curious about it and started doing some research. But after I had moved to the Los Angeles area, they were just hammering us about 5 to 6 days a week with real heavy chemtrailing. So I got a film crew one day, and I said, let's go out and start interviewing people and, you know, show them what's going on and see what they know about what's happening right over their heads. So I produced a short video called Environmental Deception. It was about 18 minutes long, and I went out to Hollywood Boulevard and interviewed people, and not much to my surprise, but I realized that most people were totally unaware of this issue. But the real interest in the film did not start until I had an opportunity to go to the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting, which was held in San Diego. And at that meeting, geoengineers proposed their models for spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum and other particles into the sky from what they said was the stated goal of cooling the planet. So I was totally shocked when I heard, you know, what they had been proposing, and also learned a lot of things about the program. So I went home back to L.A., and I wrote an article about the meeting and also about what people had been finding, which is massive amounts of So what I did, I sent that article to an online publication, and I put my email address and my phone number, not thinking it would go very far. When I woke up the next morning, my phone was ringing off the hook, and my inbox was flooded with emails because I literally broke the story of the use of aluminum in geoengineering models. And, of course, aluminum has been found in thousands of times the normal amounts in rain and snow samples, and that's a relatively new phenomenon in about the past 10 or 15 years since the inception of these programs. So people started sending me plane tickets and said, hey, we want you to document this. So I call it a divinely ordered film, and I just walked through the doors that were opened and, you know, had a lot of incredible people come on board and support me in this, including G. Edward Griffin. So essentially, it was, I just walked through the doors.
Well, I'm glad you did. During the making of the film, I saw from the short clip that you went to Hawaii, for one thing, and you went to Washington, I believe. Can you tell us what some of the places were that you were able to visit and verify that there were chemtrails in those states and locations as well?
Sure, absolutely. And we went around the United States, and we also went over to Europe. But I think it would be best if we start with really the second part of the trip. We went and filmed the geoengineers talking about their models and proposals. Of course, geoengineers blatantly deny that these programs have been implemented and state that what people are experiencing are just simple, normal contrails. We conclusively proved that wrong within the film. And what we did, we went to Northern California for the first part of the film. And about 15 years ago, people in the area of Redding and Mount Shasta, which is just beautiful, pristine land, and it's God's country. There's no industry in that area. About 15 years ago, they started seeing a mass die-off of their trees and amphibians and insects in that area. So the scientists in the area started testing the soil for pH tests, and what they found was shocking. They found that the pH was increasing. We're not talking an increase of 2 times, 5 times, an increase minimal 10 times the normal amounts, but up to 12 times the normal amounts of alkalinity in the soil. And if anybody knows, any plant life that requires an acidic soil to grow will die when the soil goes too alkaline. So what they did, they started doing further tests. And what they found was deeply shocking. In rain tests and snow tests, they found massive amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium. And I'll give you an example of the amounts. There should be no aluminum, barium, and strontium in rain and snow samples. Mount Shasta, about 7 years ago, yielded about 7 parts per billion of aluminum, which is high. Last year, a test taken by a retired USDA biologist, Francis Mangles, yielded, and this is going to shock people, 61,100 parts per billion of aluminum. It's literally toxic. People are climbing on that mountain. They're using snow for hydration, and it's literally poison. And these are tests that they're finding on a regular basis now. And, of course, during the filming, when we're outside, you could just see the plane spraying back and forth, back and forth. They really get hit extremely hard up in that area. So deeply concerning, but, yeah, I mean, there have been thousands of tests that we uncovered that have been taken around the world that, again, reveal massive amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium. Those metals and those combinations will drive a soil basic, exactly what's being found around the world. And, of course, the world is seeing a die-off of ecology.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. I've seen pictures of chemtrails over the Eiffel Tower and over Australia and various other countries, so I know that they're over there. Were there any countries that were simply not part of that program that you were aware of?
Well, some, you know, I've heard that Colombia and parts of South America, some countries are not reporting them. However, this appears to be, it is definitely a global issue. And as G. Edward Griffin stated during our interview, it's happening over every NATO country. So there appears to be a political alliance. You know, we believe that due to the agendas involved, and I hope that we can get into that, that it is a world government or New World Order agenda, you know, because it certainly fits in with some of the goals of the New World Order agenda. So, again, there are a few countries that have not reported this. However, and it's not only limited to NATO countries. It is in most countries, and again, it's very toxic to ecology and human health.
Let's talk a little bit about the agenda, because I think that's important to try and get a little more clarity about the intent and use of these things. As I understand it, some of the various uses have to do with controlling the weather and also manipulating earthquakes and tidal waves and various other things. And that's been going on, that's kind of a subtle war that's been going on between different countries for some time now, in conjunction with HAARP. But there have been rumors that this is also something that has to do with, reducing the population. And I was shocked to see, I think I saw it in your little clip, that Monsanto has engineered genetically modified seeds that allow for the aluminum. And
right.
And so let's tell us a little more about what you've discovered as you've gone along through this process.
Okay, and Lance, you've studied very well, because you just hit the 3 points that I was going to hit, and I'd like to touch on. So it was excellent. But yeah, the HAARP program, is for some of the listeners who are not aware of that, the HAARP program is a new technology. It's probably not too new, but it's a technology that has weather modification and earthquake capabilities, can cause earthquakes. And of course, we've seen dramatic weather changes, and what many people believe is a new type of warfare called weather warfare, where we are seeing this drastic weather. Now, the HAARP program is believed to require fine metal particulate to emit its frequencies through, and it also requires metal particulate to heat up the ionosphere, because it can manipulate and change jet streams. So there is a military application with that, and just think about the power that you could have if you could control the weather. Let's say if you wanted to create global governance and there was a country that did not want to submit, well, you could just send a drought over there into that country and literally destroy them, and then thus taking control. And I always use that one of the larger earthquakes, of course, we've seen dramatic increase in the number of earthquakes in the past 10 years. And I'm going to bring the Haiti earthquake and use that as an example. Many people believe that was in part, or that was totally created by HAARP technology. Of course, the U.S. government was Johnny on the spot. They were there the next day. But ironically, I've heard rumors, and I have to verify them, that the U.S. government was in South Florida preparing to do Haiti hurricane relief. So they just happened to be ready there with that great intuition. Of course, they went in and militarily occupied, fight it with the support of the American people, going, God, our government is great. They're bringing aid to all these people. But I think there's a much more ominous plan, and they can use these types of technologies with the support of the American people, who are completely unsuspecting that there might be a more diabolical and warfare application behind it. So, but you had touched on an important issue in population reduction, and we know that if you look at source documents from the Rothschild family, the Rockefeller family, and even Bill Gates, who, by the way, is a heavy funder into geoengineering programs, and if we look at the health implications associated with just spraying aluminum, barium, and strontium, we know they're spraying much more, but we only covered those three substances within the film. We've seen aluminum-related illness go through the roof. Alzheimer's is one of them. In L.A. County, we've seen over a 200% increase in Alzheimer's in a 10-year period. Barium lowers our immune system, creates high blood pressure. Any emergency room physician who is aware of aerosol spraying will let you know during heavy spray days. Emergency rooms are packed with people coming in with strokes, heart attacks, and then some lesser things, burning eyes, irritability. We know that strontium is a carcinogen, and I'm going to bring up respiratory mortality, which in the past 5 years has gone from number 8 on the list of mortality just down to number 3. So we're seeing an incredible increase in not only aluminum-related illness, but illnesses related to respiratory and other things. And, of course, we're inhaling this. After it's sprayed into the sky, we are inhaling this. And it's without a doubt, hurting people. It definitely is. So I, like you, believe it is in part population reduction. And did you want me to touch, I know I've been talking for a long time, on the new aluminum-resistant seed?
Yes, because that's something I just recently found out about, and I think there may be a lot of people who haven't heard about that yet.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I'd love to touch on that. And one of the places that we filmed was Hawaii, and we went out there for a week, and it was a beautiful trip. We stayed on an organic farm, and it was a beautiful place to stay, and we're completely off of the grid and away from any stores, corporate influence. It was beautiful because in the morning I would wake up and I'd go to the trees and literally pick my breakfast off of the trees, and we would pick our food. And there's a group that lives in this area, and it's a very free type of living. You know, there's no going to work and there's no monetary exchange. And the concern there is they're starting to see declines in the yield of their foods, and the coconut trees are also softening, which is a bad sign. And they are getting sprayed very heavy off of Hawaii, and we did encourage many of the locals to test, and of course they did, and they found massive amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium. And the concern there is that these programs may be in part an agenda to kill off anything that's natural and organic by destroying the soil and then replacing the food supply with new GMO seeds. And, of course, like you had mentioned, we uncovered a new aluminum-resistant seed, which was made at Cornell University. It's owned by the USDA and the Brazilian government, and that's the concern. The concern is that they're destroying the soil so that nobody can be completely independent. And after I left that part of the island, I just admired the way that everybody lived, because it was a total free place to live, and they were completely dependent on natural seeds and in weather and everything. But in 10 years, if the spraying continues, my heart just went out, because if they can't grow their own food, what are they going to do? Are they going to have to go to companies such as Monsanto and other companies? And if so, what are the requirements for that?
Right,
and that is
the
loss, the last bit of freedom, that our God-given freedom that we have, that it appears that they're trying to take away. So deeply concerning to those of us who are aware of this.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there was a bill just recently, I think it was 510, that had to do with controlling the organic food supplies. And I think that it was not passed, but it was a very dangerous bill. And so there are attacks and attempts on our life, and they're so subtle in some ways that we don't see it, because we're so wrapped up in trying to survive that most people don't feel like they have time to investigate anything anymore. And so we just go on in our dream worlds, but these elements are falling to the ground. Whatever's being sprayed there on a daily basis, it doesn't stay up there, and it falls to the ground. So eventually it gets into the plant leaves, it gets into the ground soil, the animals eat it, and it's going to create greater and greater toxicity until nothing can live in it. Not to mention the fact that some samples have included very strange elements in them. Other researchers have discovered bacteria and blood, and nanoparticles, and some have even linked the chemtrails to the Morgellons disease, which is another phenomenon that seems to be cropping up more frequently that isn't supposed to exist, that nobody has.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, this is a very dangerous situation, and it's especially dangerous in that it's done without any oversight, any control, and any accountability. And it's done without our consent, which is even worse. I mean, they're just doing it, and, you know, if we die, that's, well, okay, goodbye. you had a nice life. Be thankful that we ended it for you. You know, it just seems to be an attitude of just complete, I don't know what to call it, but it's frightening.
It is so frightening, Lance. And go ahead.
So when you went through these different states, did you run across people who were quite aware of what was going on, and who did you run across people who were identifying illnesses upon being sprayed?
Well, we absolutely did. And again, we investigated this from a scientific standpoint. For the first time in the history of this movement, we spoke to credible scientists, we spoke with physicians, we spoke with politicians. Senator Karen Johnson spoke with us, was well aware of the issue and was very open about it and deeply concerned about it, bless her heart. She's been great for the movement. But absolutely, you know, we met many people, including areas in Northern California where almost the entire populations have respiratory illnesses that they can't kick. But even go deeper than that, you had mentioned Morgellons, and I did. You know, we met several people who had Morgellons, which is, again, believed to be from the aerosol strain. We didn't cover that too deeply in the film, and the reason was this. When we sat down, my goal for the film was really to reach out to the masses, and
right.
The goal was to make people aware that these programs are real and that they're
right.
a threat to ecology and human health. And I think that we conclusively prove that. And these other issues are so important, and they need to be covered. One of my hopes for doing the film was to get people activated into covering this at a deeper level. I mean, we covered a depth, and what we uncovered was deeply shocking. Aluminum, barium, and strontium is just terrible. And
oh, yeah.
And but God, this goes much deeper than what
yeah.
we covered. We hope to bring the people perhaps into a part two, or, you know, have somebody else produce a film or even write about some of these other issues like Morgellons, because, man, let me tell you, it's blowing my mind, and I know that they're spraying up there.
Yeah.
We know conclusively that they are.
Well, you know, I first found out about this up here in Northern California, where I've been living for about, say, 12, 14 years. And I had a tenant on the property that rented a small house, and she was kind of an old hippie, and she was the first one to point up to the skies and say, "Did you know that they had chemtrails up there? And take a look at them." And she pointed out the crisscross design and how they spread out, and I kind of nodded my head, and, you know, it kind of went right through me. Kind of, I noticed it, but, you know, it didn't really make an impact. But it was 10 years later that I started noticing it overhead daily, and my respiratory, I was having respiratory problems and coughing, like a tickling cough that I wouldn't stop. And that's when I began to look up and see what was going on, and it was pretty scary. So I've seen this going on out here for over 10 years, and, you know, that's so it just seems so sneaky and so typical of the military and the government and the powers that be to go ahead and do it. And then when they get caught, they probably will have some great excuse like, "We're doing this to help you." But in the meantime, everybody denies doing it. Nobody knows anything about it. And now you've got the geoengineers talking about doing it in the future. So they're setting us up to, you know, to say, "Well, we're going to do it today. We're starting this chemtrail project or this geoengineering project." And then they can come out and say, we're doing it. We just started it. So this kind of sneaky operation that's been going on behind our backs about everything has to come to light, and it's got to stop.
Yeah, well, we don't know how much of a future there will be for the ecology and also human health if it continues. But you brought up a great point, and you had spoken about geoengineers coming public, and they're starting to speak only of what they say is the plausibility of doing these programs, but there's literally a mountain of evidence that proves that these have been ongoing for about 10 to 12 years. What they're doing is putting together the sales strategy to sell this to an unsuspecting public. And as G. Edward Griffin had stated in the film, he said, you know, when it comes out, and it definitely will, and it is coming out, undoubtedly they will say, well, we're doing this for the benefit of mankind. We're doing this to thwart this supposed global warming crisis, so we're saving you. But as many of us know, it's not in the best interest of people like you or I, Lance. It's in the best interest of a select group of people who have this goal to create world government, and part of that goal is to reduce the Earth's population. Part of that goal is to control the food supply. Part
and
of that
the
goal
water.
Is to control yep. and the water and everything. So what they're after
and
is
the
control.
Air, yes.
Yeah, but
and
if they can sell it, if they can sell it to the public and get support of this, which they've been very effective in the past, then they can do it. So it is our job as awakened world godly people, it is our job to speak the truth and to let people know really what's going on. That's why I admire you for covering this and doing the work that you're doing. It's so important right now that we just speak to people and make them aware of this. And we have. We've seen an incredible, in the past 6 to 7 months, we've just seen an incredible awakening with this issue. I think the film is a good tool as well. We've had people, literally, it's being shown that we have people doing screenings around the world. It's been translated in the past 3 weeks into, I believe, 7 different languages. So the support is
wonderful. Wonderful.
And incredible. Yeah.
That's good news because I know that your film is a very easy to digest film. It's not at all sinister or diabolical. It's really an inquiry, and you really did target it to hit the mainstream audience. So because for people who don't know anything about this, you really have to be kind of gentle. You can't just say, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. You know, I mean, Alex Jones does that, but sometimes he's a little bit much. And so most people need a kind of a gentle approach to say, oh, well, what is this? Well, let's ask a question. Let's go to the next question. Well, that's interesting. And, you know, I find that to be a very positive way to get the truth out there, and it looks like you're successful at it. So your screenings have done real well then. Where did you screen first?
Well, we had a world premiere in Atlanta, and it was a great event. Just had under 400 people attend, most of who came to our after. We had a party afterwards, and I had an opportunity to speak to a lot of people. A little overwhelming because this was my first film, and I'm not used to all of this attention. But, you know, again, I believe it's a calling. So I have to walk in that calling and speak truth to this issue. But, yes, it has been incredibly effective. We have had people now around the world, as I said, who are scheduling screenings. I'm talking to folks in New York, Chicago, people in Australia. There are a couple. I think there's one tonight and another one tonight in Chicago. So literally I've had about 35 to 40 people in the past week contact me for artwork, promotional artwork, to move forward with screenings. Of course, I'll be in Reading a week from, I believe, 2 weeks on Friday, and we'll be having a big screening there. Sacramento as well. So we're doing the tour, yeah.
Wonderful. So what's next for you with the film? I mean, do you think that this is going to create a kind of a nexus point or a turning point for us to begin to break this secrecy that's around us that's going on?
Well, I know it is because of the momentum and what we've seen just in the past month. I mean, it has taken off. We've had more support with this film even before it was released than I believe any other documentary, and that's coming from discussion with G. Edward Griffin, who's been involved with many successful projects and films, you know, in the past. So,
I'm familiar with him from the Creature from Jekyll Island.
That's right, and he was actively involved with Freedom to Fascism, which of course broke ground on a number of different issues. So, with that being said, for a first film, I guess as a new filmmaker on the scene, you never expect a film to get within the first 2 to 3 weeks to get translated into several different languages, and just the attention. And you know, let me point out, it's not film, it's this issue that is so dire that get the message out. And finally, for the first time in the history of the movement within the past 10 to 12 years, it is getting the attention that it deserves. It's a crime against nature and humanity. We're all suffering, and we're at a tipping point right now. And if we allow it to continue, and if we don't speak truth to this, I don't think there's going to be much left for us and our children to enjoy. So we're in a real crisis, and again, people are waking up to that, and I think we did a good job illustrating that in the film. And like you said, we didn't hammer at people, hey, the sky is falling, you know, run away, get deeply scared, but we ask questions, and that's why I think the film appeals to a lot of people. It was me. Hey, I'm a regular guy. I went out, I got concerned, I became aware of this, and I started asking questions, and I documented, and what I found was deeply shocking, and I found that we are in a crisis, and you know, it's my duty to alert people to what's going on. And now it's their duty. My greatest hope was to inspire other people to take similar action, you know, the kind of action that I was taking, get on the radio, you know, start addressing this to public officials, start talking to your neighbors. My entire neighborhood has woken up because I'm out, you know, on the streets when they spray. I walk out and I just ask people, what is that? What do you think that is? And they're like, you know, I don't know. I've always wondered. And then I have an opportunity to explain to them, well, those are geoengineering programs. They're not healthy. Here's a DVD. I've been handing out free DVDs. Of course, we have them for sale, but, you know, we encourage people who purchase a DVD to make copies and hand out, you know, hand them out freely in our vision of making this known to all. So it's real important that we inspire other people to get active and motivated to go out and speak on this and address this.
What was one of the most surprising things that you discovered as you got into making the film? What surprised you the most that you discovered?
Well, you know, I think all of it. My mouth was dropped at the arrogance of these scientists talking about, you know, their models and their goals and their plans, and also the risks associated with geoengineering. And one of those was ozone depletion, exactly what we're seeing. Droughts in Africa and Asia, exactly what we're seeing. Weird weather patterns, exactly what we're seeing. You know, so they were very open about the risks, and there were about 14 of them, 13 or 14 risks. One of the three, what they said was a benefit was actually to cool the planet. I don't know if that's a benefit, and I don't know that we should put, you know, the power of God into the hands of a select few, especially people that are getting funded with known eugenicists like Bill Gates. You know, that's deeply concerning. But also, what broke my heart was just the devastation that people are experiencing. Dane Wigington, who is a solar expert, and he bought 2,000 acres above Lake Shasta in Mount Shasta, and his goal after he retired from Bechtel as a solar expert was really to live off of the land, and now everything's literally dying on his property.
Yes, that was the one that's in the film clip, the guy who has the property up at the top of the hill. Kind of a large house, and you interviewed him in the film movie, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a fascinating interview. That was really scary. You know, that alone was worth seeing, you know, in the movie. Yes. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, people are trying to go organic and they're trying to grow their own food, but what's the point when this chaff, these metals and these particulates and these irradiated particles are falling over your head and you're breathing them in and they're getting in the vegetables and you know, everything is breaking down. I've seen it out here in the Northern California. Everything is literally dying. It's just getting worse and worse. I mean, that is the ultimate goal. And I wonder what the scientists are thinking. Do they live underground in bases where food is grown, you know, in some kind of special conditions? I mean, don't they realize that they have to live on in a world that they're creating? I just don't get that part.
Yeah, it's interesting, and that comes up a lot. And we know how toxic just the things that we uncovered in the film is. And again, we spoke about, you know, that it does go deeper into biologicals and other areas. But a lot of people ask that, you know, aren't they breathing this in as well? And the answer to that is yes. And people say, well, they couldn't possibly do that, you know, if they're breathing it in as well. And we know, you know, I think it's safe to assume, and I don't have the answer of why they would be doing it if they're inhaling it, but I always go back to a couple issues. One is I think it's safe to assume that these people who consider themselves the elite have access to far better health care and technology.
I know that I'm taking
measures to chelate this metal in these particulates out of my body. I'm taking measures to strengthen my immune system, and that's the information that I have been privy to, which, you know, is out there for anybody. But I think they have access to much greater. But also, we know that there's a tremendous amount of power associated with this, and I think power can even be related to a desire for perhaps a drug addict who might want, you know, to do a drug. Who knows that, yes, they are killing themselves, but that rush or whatever they get from the use of that drug is worth it to them. And I think we're in that state as well, because there is an agenda here, and there's a lot of money, there's a lot of power. This is godlike power. And of course, we've seen people, how many people have put their families in jeopardy just for a mere small business deal? You know, we see that all the time in today's society. So I think it's safe to say that there are different motives and, I guess, different spirits that are leading these people. And no, it's not in the best interest of all of us. But, wow, that power must feel good to those people who really desire it, you know?
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, it's damaging to the rest of us. Well, you know, I did see, I think I saw this on your clip, that somebody mentioned that when the president flies into the San Francisco area, the Los Angeles area, that there is no spraying that goes on during those days. But I just thought of something funny. We know that Clinton says he didn't inhale, so maybe he has the secret.
Right.
You just don't inhale.
Maybe there was a double meaning behind that, right? Because
it could be. I might have missed the real meaning to that one. But then, of course, we haven't even discussed the most obvious thing. In an economy like ours, where they're raping and pillaging and stealing money and printing it up out of thin air and giving it to their bankster friends and their various contracts to, you know, scanners and this and that and the other thing and wars and secret this and secret that. We don't know how much this program costs and who's paying for it. Obviously, we're probably paying for the very things that are killing us. That's how it tends to work with military and government operations. We're the ones that get charged. And we're the last ones to find out that we're being used as guinea pigs. So it must cost billions, or if not trillions of dollars, to have planes constantly flying certain patterns and to monitor those from satellites and to make adjustments that need to be made all over the globe. That is not a cheap operation.
No, no, it's not. And again, these are global, and they are doing them, you know, offshore as well. So, and of course, we've seen whales have had aluminum toxicity and other heavy metal toxicity. So it is getting into our waters. But yeah, back to the money issue. You bring up a good point. Who's paying for it? And G. Edward Griffin always, of course, he did his research on the Federal Reserve. And
yeah,
when people ask him that, they say, "Who's paying for it?" He said, "You're paying for it. You know,
exactly.
You are paying with taxes. You're the one that's supporting this." And that just it's maddens people, and it maddens me, you know, to think that you know, that part of my money would be going into supporting programs that are not in the best interest of mankind. So with that being said, you know, again, we have to get vocal. We have to take action. Instead of paying for this and rolling over for our own demise, we are in a very exciting time, because for the first time in history, we have an opportunity to bring truth to a subject that is so obvious to those of us who know. And like you said, I think you made a great point. You spoke, you know, you said for a number of years you were unaware of these programs, as I were. I just learned about mm-hmm. them about 3 years ago. But once you know and once you see what's going on, it's Dane Wigington, who, of course, we interviewed in the film, he calls it the elephant in the room that
yeah.
nobody has noticed until now. And that elephant is not disguised anymore. And they are getting more aggressive with these programs, and more and
yeah.
more people are asking questions. And for the first time in the history of the movement, we have a film which addresses these points, and it's waking people up. It's What in the World Are They Spraying?
Well, I certainly hope it's waking people up, because if we don't wake up, then we're not going to be here. We're going to be cutting Z's underneath the ground. What's to stop, for instance, these planes now are used to running these tanks and spraying these things in the air. Some people claim that there are chemicals in there that dumb us down. You know, some kind of Prozac type things. Who knows? They're so talented at coming up with Dr. Evil kinds of chemicals that it could be doing anything. However, what's to stop them one day, you know, the elite, the people who are pulling the strings, from simply making a phone call, and they have all the tanks ready to go, and they replace the ordinary chemtrail tanks with these other tanks, and in those tanks is some kind of toxic substance that literally kills us. I mean, that would be an easy thing to do. You could just, and you know where you're flying. It's all patterned out. You've been practicing for 10, 12 years. The flyers don't necessarily know that they're distributing anthrax or whatever the disease is, H151 or 52 or 53. And, you know, we wouldn't know either. It would just look like another chemtrail sky in the night, and except that we wouldn't be waking up in the morning, or we'd be waking up coughing blood. So these are real concerns that we should be thinking about.
Well, and you brought up a good point. What if they put something in that would kill us? And I'd like to respond to that. They already are. We know that conclusively. And it's not
yeah.
it's not the fast kill that you suggested.
Yeah.
Lamp, but
yeah.
these programs are highly toxic. You know, respiratory mortality, again, number three in the past 5 years in the list of mortality, and that's just scratching the surface. We look at all the aluminum-related deaths, the heart attacks, the strokes associated with it. They, without a doubt, are killing people. These are black programs. They're a human rights violation. They're violate all of our God-given rights, and they
right.
need to be addressed, yeah.
And then another question that might pop up in someone's mind is, these are aluminum products. We're absorbing the aluminum. Our dogs, our cats, our our trees, our wildlife, our plants, and our vegetables, doesn't that affect the electromagnetic qualities of all life? I mean, there's a certain delicate balance that has to do with electrogravitation, and the moon and the sun and all of that is a harmonic. And, you know, wouldn't all this aluminum cause some kind of major interference pattern or change, alteration in the natural order of things?
Well, it is, and aluminum also, when sprayed in the free form that is suggested in numerous patents and also outlined in geoengineers' proposals, it absolutely is, and it absolutely does. And what it does, it also inhibits plant life from taking up the proper nutrients that it needs to as well. And that's one, I mean, these are just one of many examples of what you had suggested. Yes, they are eliminating the balance that we have. Dr. Lenny Fine, who is the metals expert who we interviewed in the Oregon area, had spoken about it, and he spoke about how aluminum actually does exactly what you said. You know, it gets into the body and it changes the normal systems that we have. So again,
who knows? Maybe we'll have so much aluminum in our bodies, we'll be like the character Jaws in the 007 movies, and then somebody will get a big magnet and we'll just stick to it. They'll just drive a big truck with a huge magnet around and we'll all be carried away.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to make fun of it, but it's not a funny situation. But we do have to keep our sense of humor, because this is a horrific attack and assault, and it's an unnatural, ungodly, if you want to put it that way. It really goes against all things sacred.
Well, it does, and I call it the anti-life agenda. And certainly, we look at, you know, if you look at the Bible, it talks about the end times and this antichrist worldly system that comes in and usurps the authority of natural order and natural things. Exactly what we're seeing. You know, it's in many different prophecies, and I want to, you know, Jesus spoke in the Bible about weird weather patterns in the end times and earthquakes, and it's exactly what we're seeing. So it's very interesting, and it's not only what's prophesied in the Bible, it's many different prophecies, Hopi prophecies, and I was speaking to some people of Muslim religion, and they said, yeah, this fits right in with our prophecy. So it's very interesting what we're seeing, but it is, you know, it's this system, I call it the beast, that's developing and really usurping this authority of what was at one time natural, you know, the natural order of things. So it's not a system that I want to live in, so, and I'm comfortable living in. I like the natural order of things, so I am speaking about this, trying to wake people up, trying to show them. And the spiritual implications, you know, behind these programs are immense, and there's a tremendous amount of wisdom that we can learn just by addressing this and looking at this, because it is, you know, there are definitely spiritual connections to what's going on, and it is this good versus evil, and this evil that is now trying to overpower and take control over everything. So it's a very interesting season that we live in, a very interesting season in the movement, because like I had mentioned, we've seen an incredible awakening in the past 6 months, probably more than we've seen in the past 10 years. So for that, it excites me, because we see lines in the sand being drawn. Of course, many of the politicians who we interviewed in Washington, D.C. did not want to address this. Many of them were literally running away from it, and I think we did a good job illustrating just the political system that we have that we're told is there to serve us, but we clearly illustrated that it was not, because, I interviewed over 35 members of Congress and senators, most of who denied any knowledge of geoengineering programs. Of course, there have been numerous congressional hearings on the subject. So,
absolutely, and they'd have to be brain dead to not have heard of it through these congressional hearings, and so there must be quite a lot of fear in these people, instilled in them from the powers that be about discussing or revealing or disclosing any of these various agendas that are secret and private and done without our consent and that we're paying for. So I saw some of those interviews, and it was really embarrassing to see these well-dressed senators and congressmen just literally run, and it was really shameful. That whole system really has turned into a hornet's nest of evil. And, I really can't see that the government can be saved, in the sense that it can be, that there's enough good in it that it can be transformed somehow into something beneficial for mankind. It's gone astray, and it's now run by the globalists and the mafia and the bankers and so on and so forth. So the elite are really pulling the strings, and we're not part of their process. You know, they don't really want us around. So I think it's a tough pill to swallow, but that's just basically the way it is. And they're not all that way. You interviewed our California senator, I believe it was Senator Feinstein, and she seemed very helpful. She was the only one, there was one other person, a woman, that was also very helpful, and she was going to do some work on it. But I thought that Dianne Feinstein was very, at least she was playing the politician. She's promised to do all the research. She said, you give me all the papers you have, and we'll research it, and we'll take care of it. And, that's what a politician should do. We know they're not going to do it, probably, but, they have to at least act like they're concerned about our welfare. And it's shocking to see so many that just not only are not concerned, but they're blatantly throwing their lack of concern for the humanity in our face.
Well, keep in mind that Senator Feinstein had the entire press corps in front of her during that time, so she had to address that in that manner. But let's go back to D.C., and I want to bring up Dennis Kucinich, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who had, in 2001, had put forth the Space Preservation Act, and essentially it was a bill that was banning space weapons. In that bill, he had mentioned specifically the word chemtrail to be banned. However, before the bill went for vote, it was removed. We went to address this with Dennis Kucinich, and his office would not comment on this, and would not see us for an interview. So it appears to be, again, these are black programs. They're illicit. They're hurting people. They're killing people. And it appears that politicians that do address this, it's taboo, or they're going to have some rather not pleasant things happen, not only in their career, but probably
their families. They get into car accidents. Their families somehow mysteriously die or disappear. That's their modus operandi these days, So we're living in very dangerous times, and we need to wake up.
But my question is this. How dangerous is it not to address this? And that's the issue. And we need to stand for it. And we should not accept our politicians not addressing this. This is a crime against nature and humanity, and somebody's got to move forward. And that's why I put a call out to the world, to everybody that's listening, to research this and get active, because we are in a real crisis. And people say, Mike, are you worried that they're gonna kill you? And my response always is, they already are. I'm breathing this in every day.
You're right. Good point.
So are we going to ignore this because we're concerned that they're going to hurt us? They're already hurting us. They're already doing nasty things. We need to stand up against this. We have to.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Well, we have just a couple minutes left, and I want to give you just a second to say whatever you'd like to in closing, and also to announce any websites that you'd like to promote, your email address if you like, or tell us where you'll be, and so that the people can find out more.
Absolutely. And again, Lance, I want to thank you for covering this. It's a deep and important issue to those of us who are aware of it. And I also, again, want to encourage people to research this and look into this more deeply. You can see more of my work, and I've written some articles on truthmediaproductions.blogspot.com. And also, I just opened up an Amazon site. We hope that, A, you purchase the video. After purchasing, please duplicate it, replicate it, burn DVDs, hand them out, but it would help if you support the filmmakers, because my goal is to not have to work for the next year. I want to promote this film and this issue, and I want to focus solely on it. But with that, I definitely need support. So if you could go to Amazon, my account is TM Videos. I will make sure I get the film in the mail the next day. It'll be sent off to you. And again, you know, this film is available for free, but we do need your support to continue on in getting this message out. So, again, truthmediaproductions.blogspot.com to purchase, amazon.com, and just go to TM Videos, stands for Truth Media Videos. And please research this, get active. The movement, again, is growing in leaps and bounds every day. Now we have a great tool. What in the world are they spraying? So please get active, and thank you, everybody, for addressing this.
Wonderful, and thank you for doing it, and thank you for being on the show. You have my complete and total support, and I promise that I will go on to Amazon.com, and I will purchase a film, and I will distribute it as much as I am capable of doing. So best of luck in the coming months, and we'll have to have you back sometime in the future so that we can find out where things are going. So thanks again for being with us tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Lance. It's been a pleasure, and God bless you.
God bless you, too. Good night, everybody.